me. It's me. I ain't doing nothing but talking shit. So y'all gotta, like, you know, encourage me the whole way along. Ow.
Say, ow. Yeah, kicking it live. Welcome to the Nestorius Public Radio program on SkidRowStudios.com, the craziest network on the internet. We're here kicking it live from beautiful, sunny, dark and dirty, shitty Skid Row Studios in downtown motherfucking L.A. Booyah! And I'm your host, Nestor Rodriguez, a.k.a. Nestorius. with my main man, Money Grip Big Dickus, Simon Kaufman. Give it up, y'all.
How you doing? It's a pleasure to be here down here at SkidRowStudios.com, taking a part in the internet radio revolution with my man Nestorius the Glorious.
Word. Most Forious.
Ladies and gentlemen,
live tonight, Simon Kaufman, Nestor Rodriguez start talking about Tide laundry detergent. We're also going to be covering various other topics, so tune in and call 1-800-893-9562. 1-800-893-9562. Give us a call. Give us a jingle. Yeah, I just had to do that, man. I had to play that tonight. The Tonight Show theme song, because let's face it, man. Every one of us comedians or whatever, our biggest dream would have been to have Johnny, you know, to be on Johnny's show.
I'd love it if Johnny just could sit on my lap. That'd be, I mean, just like, you know, one day, just hey Johnny, like you're right there, bro.
Johnny, yo, rip. You know what I mean? Johnny was the shit, man. There's all these talk shows, and let's face it, we all do all this bullshit on the air, whatever, whatever. There was only one Johnny Carson, man.
Well, here's the thing. I'm too young. The only real Johnny Carson I've seen is I've watched him on YouTube a lot. I don't really remember him when he was, you know.
Who did he call over to the desk on YouTube?
Oh, man, I don't know. I've just, you know, when you go back, you got to study the masters, the people, right, the grace, right, those right. who came before you, and, you know.
Right.
So I've just gone back and watched a lot of comedy to check it out, and so I don't remember off the top of my head.
No, I got you.
When I think of Ed McMahon, I think, like, someone's going to ring my doorbell after the Super Bowl.
Right.
Yeah.
Ed McMahon, man, he also passed away. He passed away owing, like, a ton of money.
Fuck yeah.
Yeah.
I don't give a fuck. I'm dead.
Right.
Go fuck yourself.
Right. But yet, he was the dude that was ringing your bell.
Yeah.
To let you know that you had won $1 million or some shit.
Ring your bell, dude. Yeah, yeah. Ed McMahon, yeah. You can ring my bell. Yeah.
Boom.
Yeah. Who cares? The guy went out. Who knows?
No, but I'm saying he was like was it Reader's Digest or Publisher's Clearinghouse?
Publisher's Clearinghouse. Yeah. Ed McMahon shows up at your door with $1 million.
Hi. Yeah. Hi.
Meanwhile, you owe 45% of it in taxes back to the fucking government. All your cousins, your alcoholic crackhead uncles start showing up at your door, wants to borrow
emailing
shit.
You, tweeting
chicks
you.
Start blowing you and then wanting money. Oh, it's horrible.
Yeah, yeah. Just stay poor. In other words,
stay broke like Ed McMahon.
Right. Well, not broke like Ed McMahon. Ed McMahon lived large, but stay within your means. That's the message. Stay within your means. Don't try to shoot for the fucking stars on somebody else's dime. You know,
everyone
what I mean?
Wants to be fabulous in this country. It's like, you know, everyone wants to be ritzy and fabulous.
That's without a doubt.
Yeah, start the level you're at.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Be fabulous in your own living room with the plastic covers on your couches.
Yeah.
Start with that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Be fabulous with what you motherfucking got. Don't try to be fabulous like on some other tip that you don't, you know, that you're not even down with. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Don't try to rack a Bentley when you're wearing, like, you know, swap meet Airwalks. Like, start where you are.
Right.
Step up in levels.
Right. Don't try to rock a Mercedes Benz when you ain't even got no dental floss. You know what I'm saying?
You're eating at Skipper's.
Yeah.
You're not flossing. You're eating at Skipper's fish and chips.
Yeah. Don't try to rock, you know, a Coupe de Ville when you don't even got shoelaces to tie your sneakers with. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Just stay within your means. This is the message. This is part of the message today on the Nestorius Public Radio show. You know, just live within your means. Big up to people who live within their means, man.
Yeah.
Big up to people who have small dreams, man. Big up to you people who work every day. You go to work, you wake up every morning, you pay your motherfucking bills on time. Big up to y'all. Big up to you hardworking Americans. Big up to you people who cook for your children. Big the fuck up. Stay within your means, man. That's what I'm saying.
Do your own. Be your own. I'm not saying don't rise. Rise from the level you're at. Don't try to skip 12 levels. You're walking around. You bought a 64 Impala, got a paint job, can't even look under the engine. The thing dies in 2 days. Okay, you look great pushing it down the side of the road.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Start where you're at.
Don't rely on YouTube for fucking how to.
Get a Camry, old Camry that'll get you to a job. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, better yet, in Los Angeles, and this is on the real tip, just get a bicycle. You'll get around faster here.
Get a bicycle, or get someone else's bicycle. You're in Los Angeles.
Live it up.
Someone's bicycle is there for the taking. Just grab it and ride. Do what you got to do. Or you could purchase one.
Live it up. Or live it up on a bicycle.
Yeah. Good endorphins. You know.
Yeah. Stay slim.
Yeah.
So we have a few topics and articles that we're going to kind of roll into. One of them was an article that I read a few months ago, actually. And it was New York Magazine had an article on Tide detergent. And, you know, I emailed this article to a few of my friends because it's a trip. The article was called, I believe, Suds for Drugs. And you can Google this article, New York Magazine. It was in January, but really, really interesting article. We're talking about it kind of falls in the line of living within your means, you know, starting out what you got. And I'll elaborate a little bit. But the article is Tide detergent works on tough stains, can now also be traded for crack. A case study in American ingenuity, legal and otherwise. So the article goes on to say that in Maryland, in a suburban town of Maryland, Bowie, Maryland, the Safeway had been robbed repeatedly, and they were robbed of Tide. Like
Tide laundry detergent.
Tide
is being stolen. There's an epidemic of Tide being stolen.
This started on the East Coast, but
of course it did.
You know, it's going to spread like wildfire.
Of course it did.
You know what I mean?
It sounds like it.
Yeah, anything worth anything in life starts on the East
Coast. Any real con starts on the East.
Anything. You know, Big up East Coast.
Big up
East Coast, motherfucker.
From the village to the uptown.
Big up stealing shit, not paying for your motherfucking train fare. East Coast, brother. Big up East Coast. It always starts on the East Coast. And then, you know, like anything, it goes to Middle America. And then eventually, motherfuckers on the West Coast are going to be carjacking motherfuckers for Tide.
They have their own fucking, you know, they have like scams where it's just like you grab you and throw you somewhere. Like, get out of your car.
I don't know.
Get out of, like, New York has like higher scams. Like, you know, someone, keep going. No, explain.
We can top this one off with the New York thing. I don't know what it is about New York. You know, most of us that are from the East Coast, myself included, you know, we have these big, like, we come from the best city in the world. Yo, I'm from New York, G.
New York, the Bronx, New York,
Brooklyn, yo.
Uptown.
You know what I'm saying? So, but I don't know what it is about the East Coast where, you know, like, blunts started on the East Coast. You know, for those of you that don't know, blunts is a type of cigar produced by Phillies. And Jamaicans in the early 80s used to cut them in down the middle, throw out the tobacco, put marijuana in, and
big up, man. Big up
up Jamaica. Big up Bluff. Big up Blunt. Big up your Philly Blunt. Big up El Producto. Big up. Yeah, they used to smoke these fucking things, and then again it caught up on like wildfire, and it got into the rap music lyrics.
Yeah, it's weed and cigars, like pretty easy to catch on.
Right, and then
not a lot of controversy. Let's smoke it.
No
weed,
but
cigar.
But then there was there was the woola, which was the same principle, but with crumpled up bits of crack. On top of the reefer. So that took you on to another level.
Well, hell, you know, it's a Tuesday.
Anyway, we're gonna bring it back to the tides, the tide thing. So apparently,
this is a New York, this is an example of a New York idea.
Oh, East Coast. It's actually
East Coast.
This was in Maryland. So in Safeway, they were reported that they were losing $10,000 to $15,000 a month. Okay, on Tide. Okay, the police chief, Prince George's County Police Department,
the finest police chief in seven counties.
Yeah. it says with $10,000 to $15,000 a month, with people just taking it off the shelves. Recalls Sergeant Aubrey Thompson, who had.
So why are people stealing the Tide?
Well, slow down. Slow down. We're not going to bust a nut right now. Just slow down. We got to get back.
I like how you take your time.
We got to do the criminal investigation. What I'm
All
saying.
Right.
So my man Aubrey Thompson heads up the team in Maryland. And check it. When Thompson and his officers arrived to the investigation, right? This is one of the earlier times that Safeway calls the police department. They saw an apparent Tide theft in progress and busted two men. Check this. Who piled 100 or so of the bright orange jugs into their Honda. Okay. I don't know if this is a plug for Tide or a plug for the Honda. 100 fucking jugs of Tide in broad daylight.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's crazy.
Well, just the fact that they could pack it all in shows the skill of these criminals, that they could just, their packing skills.
Well, then later on, Thompson reviewed weeks worth of the Safeway's security footage.
Thompson's on the case.
He's
at
on
this
the
point,
case. He's on the
Tide's
case.
Tide's being stolen.
It's a big deal.
Thompson's on the case. He's reviewing the footage.
It's a big deal.
This
in
is
Bowie,
big
Maryland.
Shit. Thompson, they called in Thompson.
So he found that more than 24 thieves working in crews were regularly raiding the store's household product aisle, sometimes returning more than once the same day and avoiding detection by timing their heists.
So wait,
follow clerks' shift changes. So basically, they were like, oh shit, Mrs. Barbarella, she's off at 3. She saw me steal like 80 jugs from the 8 to 4 shift. We'll come back.
Yeah, they hit during the shift change because, you know, all these motherfuckers are like, I'm done. I want to get out of here.
Yo, but
they want to leave. And then the other crew was like, oh, I got to be here.
Yo, but it's crazy.
So it's an organized ring, right?
In a sense. I'm going to get to the whole. I mean, the story is very interesting. Anyway, owners and managers of other area stores have seen Sergeant Thompson on the news. They reached out to him to report their own vanishing Tide bottles. Right? Like, yo, holla.
The community's coming together.
Like, yo, you're busting
to fight back Tide theft.
Yo, you busting people for Tide? Yo, over here, right? So basically. Since then, the oddly brand loyal crime wave has gone national, striking bodegas, supermarkets, and big box discounters from Austin to West St. Paul, Minnesota. For instance, in New York, employees at the Penn Station Duane Reade nabbed a man trying to abscond with Tide bottles he'd stuffed into a suitcase. Now, I don't know if I'd use the word abscond. That's a little highbrow. Motherfucker's stealing Tide. You know what I mean?
He didn't abscond it. He fucking jacked it.
Right,
I mean,
right.
He ganked it.
He swiped that shit.
He swiped it. He was out. He didn't abscond
the
shit.
Right. In Orange County, now I'm not sure if this is Orange County, California, Orange County, New York, but let's say it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
An attempted Tide theft led to a high-speed chase that included the thief crashing his SUV into an ambulance. Come on, man. This shit must be good. Now, here's the deal. No one really knows at this point why these people are stealing Tide, right?
A lot of times, yeah.
I mean, it's...
They don't know why they're stealing the Tide.
No, I mean, it's a phenomenon. All of a sudden...
I would say... Not a good way to end a high-speed chase would be crashing into an ambulance. That's not something the judge wants to hear.
Well, that's usually...
I wouldn't say that would go well.
That's usually the way it happens.
Yeah.
That's usually the way it happens with stupid thieves and chases and stuff.
Yeah.
Anyway, so they were trying to figure out what happened, what the hell did they want with this laundry detergent. So it turns out the detergent wasn't being used as an ingredient in some new recipe for getting high, but instead to buy drugs themselves. Okay, check it. Tide bottles have become an ad hoc street currency, with a 150-ounce bottle going for either $5 cash or $10 worth of weed or crack.
It's $10 a crack for 150 ounces of Tide. Yo, who
yo,
got it?
Yo,
I got Tide 150 for 20.
See, but I don't even understand the mathematics here. $5 cash or $10 worth of weed or crack. It seems to me that the value of crack has gone down if you can trade it equally
no,
for
no,
10.
No, here's what you're forgetting. Tide not only removes stains, but it boosts in colors. Yeah, I mean, you're talking about you're getting a fabric protection, boosting colors.
Well, it goes
lemon scent.
Well, yeah,
for $10 a crack, you make the trade.
Well, it goes on to that. So here's the thing: Tide ranked in the top three brand names that consumers at all income levels were least likely to give up, regardless of the recession.
Tide is one of the top selling products in the United States.
It is.
So all of a sudden, it's disappearing off shelves and being traded for crack cocaine marijuana and
yeah, but they don't know.
Jobs.
I mean, they're like
blowjobs. No.
Well, no, I'm saying they don't know at that
point. No
blowjob. Yeah, blowjobs. Yeah. I guess. But at least you can gargle.
How much Tide?
You can gargle your mouth with you know the cap is. Anyway.
Yeah.
Anyway, the,
some people are into that. Never mind.
Anyway,
I shouldn't have gone there.
Anyway, it costs. Okay, the product costs upwards of $20 per 150-ounce bottle. So you can imagine if you're a loyal Tide customer and instead of, you know, you wanting to
retail,
pay
yeah.
$20 retail or
yeah.
$5 crack negotiator.
Sure.
I mean, what would you do, right?
If sure. You're selling crack. You're on the way up. You know what I mean? You have an 88 Cutlass. You're doing what you do.
Right.
Yeah. So,
yo,
Tide retails for $20. You hook up with crack for $10. You get the Tide.
No. You hook up. If you're lucky, you can get it for $5. you can get it for $5 because they're selling it for $5 or $10 of weed and $10 of crack, and then in turn, the drug dealer could trade it in.
You're purchasing. Yeah.
But
yeah.
What they're doing is they're selling it in bulk to. Lower brand stores, supermarkets or whatever, even bodegas and whatnot for, you know, $5. And then they sell it for $8, you know, on the hush hush. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
A lot of these stores have gone busted doing this thing. Anyway, just so you can get an idea, Tide is now a $1.7 billion business representing more than 30% of the liquid detergent market. Okay. And this is where it goes back to. It goes back to 1946, okay, Procter & Gamble began tinkering with compounds called surfactants that penetrate dirt and unbond it from a garment while keeping a spot on a shirt elbow from resettling on the leg of a pant.
Yeah, it penetrates the dirt.
Right.
That's the thing,
yeah. It penetrates the dirt. What? I mean, think about it. It's remarkable because back then, I mean, let me see. Back then, what they had was like soap flakes and shit, and you had to do everything by hand.
Yeah, you had to wash your clothes on those boards that you see. You know, you wash your clothes on a washing board or something.
Yeah, well, I mean, they had soap flakes, so you had to you know, it was time consuming, tedious, and whatever, and it wasn't as effective.
The article says that Tide was as revolutionary as the iPod was.
Right.
Everyone went out and got Tide.
Right. Everyone. Back then when it first came out. So
Tide's always been the shit.
Well, since 1946. And they've been, like you were saying, their Tide's original scent was citrus-like, in the words of Sundar Raman, the marketing director of Procter & Gamble's North American Fabric Care Division.
Yes.
But
wonderful man.
Yeah.
Highly wonderful man.
Yeah. But has evolved into a citrus floral and fruity experience with hints of lemon, orange, roses, lily, and apple.
What's his name?
His name is Sundar Raman.
Yes. So read it again. What does Sundar have to say? Keep in mind, this is the vice president of some big shit over at Procter & Gamble.
Well, he was.
Big deal.
Yeah, he was. He is. He's the marketing director of Procter & Gamble's North America Fabric Care Division. But anyway, he's basically saying that it has it went from a citrus-like smell, the original Tide, to more of an evolved citrus, floral, and fruity experience with hints of lemon, orange, roses, lily, and apple.
Lovely.
Now, when combined in a complex perfume, these notes help cover up the odors of the cleaning agents that would otherwise waft out during the wash cycle. So basically, you know, this is a lot of research that goes into this.
Yeah.
Way back to in 1946.
Yeah. It was lemon scented. Yeah.
Well, also, it removes the dirt. It prevents the dirt from reattaching itself to another part of the garment, and also makes your garment smell better than new. Because you figure if you're washing your clothes in some dirty ass shit, eventually your clothes are gonna smell dirty, right? Yeah. So, but they basically have this thing down to a science. He goes on to say, the smell of citrus, for instance, has been shown to correlate strongly with perceptions of cleanliness. That natural fresh and clean smell is stimulating and creates an instantaneous mood of being happy, says Craig Warren, a former researcher for the firm International Flavors and Fragrances. All right.
Fuck yeah.
All right.
How do we get that guy on the show? The man for International Fragrance and Flavors or some shit? What's his name?
This dude is Craig Warren.
Craig gets a lot of pussy.
Craig Warren.
My name's Craig Warren. I'm the head of fragrances and floral.
But this other dude writes, he goes, launder those items with Tide and they take on a uniform smell and feel that consumers have come to associate with quality.
Yeah, it's called marketing. You've been marketed to. Yeah. That's what you sit down, you buy Tide. I want to see a real independent university study that says Tide is better. Go fuck it, you know?
Yeah. It doesn't matter.
You can get crack.
It doesn't matter where the clothes come from if you wash them with Tide. They do have almost this prestige wash to them, says Maru Koblowicz, a global creative director at Saatchi & Saatchi, which is a fucking advertising firm.
Fucking Saatchi, dude. Yeah. Oh, they have a global market. Go fuck yourself. It's Tide. You wash your fucking drawers. Go fuck yourself.
No, but this...
Saatchi, who the hell is that guy?
Saatchi & Saatchi is a major advertising corporation.
Oh, here at Saatchi, we feel that you put the floral in your balls.
Advertising ad agency. Anyway, this is no coincidence that this thing is $20 a damn bottle.
$20 a bottle. Retail.
This is $150 ounce because they have the smaller bottles, but the smaller bottles you get
the big bottle for the man that likes the finest things.
Big bottle winds up being less dollars per ounce. You know what I mean,
dude?
So
the exquisite.
But check this.
Washer.
Check it. It's a message that may also explain why among some lower income shoppers, according to a 2012 newsletter by branding agency Damon Worldwide, being able to afford Tide laundry detergent is seen as a sign of success.
What did you say, nigga?
That's right. A sign of success. Could you imagine that shit in the hood?
Dude.
Could you imagine that shit? Yo. You washing your clothes with Tide?
Yeah.
What you think? You better than us?
Yeah.
I know you washing your clothes with Tide. I can smell the citrusy, fruity apple scent on your shit.
With your citrus ass walking around acting like floral, like Saatchi.
Unbelievable.
You fuck face.
Unbelievable.
Who are you to showboat?
Unbelievable. And check it. These people do a lot of research. There's this dude, Reed Montague, right? He's a director of human neuroimaging laboratory and computational psychiatry unit at Virginia Tech's
He spends a lot of Friday nights alone.
Carolian Research Institute, right?
Yeah.
Where he studies how people choose and value products using an fMRI machine, right? When shoppers are exposed to a brand, they identify with their ventral medial prefrontal cortex. They identify with their ventral medial prefrontal cortex lights up. Basically, he's saying the same part of the brain associated with reward recognition in drug users. So, Tide users and crackheads have something in common, basically.
Yeah.
Is what he's saying. Anyway, the point here of this whole thing is the people who are stealing this, and I'm going to wrap this up. Why steal Tide? I mean, the article goes on to say that if you steal Tide, it's a petty theft crime. It's not like, you know, you're going to do federal time for stealing, let's say, an armed robbery or something like that.
Well, it used to be a crackhead would do like breaking and entering, burglarize someone's house or car.
Mugging,
that can carry a sentence up to 15 years.
Right. Mugging someone,
shoplifting, sometimes it's just a fine or very, very, shoplifting laundry detergent get off.
Community service, cleaning other people's clothes with Tide.
And this is what kills me about these kids these days, or anyone out there, right?
Yeah.
If you can devise a scheme to steal laundry detergent from supermarkets, sell it through a chain organized through the black market to end up in bodegas to trade for crack, why can't you go to school and be an accountant? Why can't you fucking just
Because you got to show up. Because you got to show up every day. You go to apply for financial aid.
Person knows how to apply himself.
No, but it's easy to just go to a store, pick up a couple of 150-ounce bottles of Tide, put them in the back of your Honda, you know, accumulate enough of them and sling them in one shot.
To come up with that.
The counter argument here is that, okay, so why don't the retailers lock this stuff up since it's a big problem, right?
Sure. Like they lock up razors. Why the fuck do they lock up razors?
Because razors cost fucking $30 for 20 of them. Again, that was something that they used to steal until retailers got smart, right? And so the thing is that, you know, they lock up electronic devices and stuff like that because those are not items that are sold that often. So if you need to buy it, go to the manager.
Mm-hmm.
They come, open up the cabinet, boom. The argument here is that if they were to lock up the Tide, that would contribute to the shopper's time. And the article says they may not want to shop at that store.
Sure, no one wants to go buy Tide, go find a soup guy. Hey, can you open this case up for me? The guy waddles over, you know, the line's backing up now because he can't be over there. Yeah, and you know what they need? You need a Tide guard. Like you have a security guard is a security guard, but you have your Tide guard who wears his own bright orange Tide. You don't fuck around, dude.
Right.
And it takes training, years.
Yeah.
Because you got to fight these crackheads,
One big black dude and shit with a bright orange fucking racing windbreaker, you know, be like security. Security Tide.
Yeah. But you have to realize the security guard, okay, what's he deal with? Some ladies yelling sometimes. What the Tide guy has to deal with every day is protecting the Tide from some of the most vile crackheads, thieves.
Oh, my God.
Thieves, organized crime rings, stealing Tide. That's the Tide guard. Tide guard. We'll be there.
Tide man.
Hit that again, dude. We're onto something. In America, Tide Man.
I just love that. That's the original Spider-Man theme song. I just love that one. Anyway, but I was in Puerto Rico last year, and this trips me out. See, drug addicts steal whatever they can get their hands on fast and sell fast. You know, back in the 70s, they used to steal car batteries. They used to steal car radios. No one's interested in a fucking battery anymore. No one's interested in a radio. So it's a waste of time.
Yeah, it's a waste of time.
Right?
People
steal things that are easy to sell. In Puerto Rico, I went to buy coffee. Check this out. I go to buy coffee to bring back to the States because Puerto Rican coffee is pretty dope. It's one of the the few things left at the so-called state of Puerto Rico still cultivates. But when I went
pitchers.
To buy them, when
pitchers.
I, and pitchers.
Yeah, a lot of baseball pitchers.
When I went to buy, it was locked up. No coffee was in any of the, there was no coffee aisle, right? I'm like, where's the coffee? They tell me that it's up front in fucking clear glass locked cages. Check this. So I'm like, so they're like, you got to pay first to the cashier, right? And then she'll open up the cage and you can get your coffee, which makes it, and I agree with the article, it makes it difficult because normally you choose what you want to buy. You take it, then you pay for it. They're asking you to pay. In other words, they're asking you to tell them what you want. I want 5 pounds of El Pico, 5 pounds of Bustelo, and they got like 80 different varieties, so you don't really know which ones you
want
to buy.
Well, it's like ordering up paint at the hardware store. We want the blue this, that, right. And then you give them the number, and they go right. And they order it.
Well, they
up,
want
and
you
then
to pay for that shit first, and then
yeah. They're not fucking around.
Yeah, yeah. Anyway, so
do you want the coffee? You got to pay first. First, you show us the money, then we're gonna show you the coffee.
Yeah. You want to do this all over again? Okay. You put the yayo back in the pocket, then I give you the coffee, and then you come back. You ring the doorbell twice, and you then we say much? Hello, and then you get the coffee. Okay. Any more questions you need?
Yeah. you gotta put the money down before you go to the cage to get the coffee.
People like him need people like me, so I can open up the coffee counter and sell you the coffee, okay, puppy? That's how it works over here. Anyway, it's just unbelievable. It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable, the shit that goes on. Oh, my gosh.
If we have any callers out there who are on the street corner selling Tide, we want to hear from you. We want to hear from the young entrepreneurs of America, the people out there that are really just
doing
commerce in the spirit of all our forefathers.
I can't believe we smoked up like almost half the show talking about Tide. I'm going to give the link to Tide to Procter & Gamble to the show. They better give me a fucking month supply of Tide, at least.
The makers of Spick and Span.
Yeah.
What do you think about that, dude?
That's another story.
Procter & Gamble makes Spick and Span.
Yeah. That's another.
Spick and Span. A cleaning product or also a racist plot?
that's another thing. Anyway, some more news.
Big up, more news.
big up, Brooklyn. Big up, Brooklyn. Big up, Brooklyn. Big up. Okay, freed but ailing. A man falsely in prison for 23 years for the murder of a Brooklyn rabbi was released last week only to be hospitalized the following evening after a serious heart attack. Okay. David Ranta, 58, was imprisoned for the murder of Rabbi Shaskel Wurzburger.
Shaskel Wurzburger got murdered?
Yeah, in 1990. Oh. In 1990. Even though no physical evidence linked him to the crime, prosecutors re-examining the case last year discovered that a witness had claimed the detective pressured him into fingering Ranta. Okay, the guy with the big nose, the guy happens to look Italian. That's fucked up. The guy with the big nose is what he said, and said they had insufficient evidence to keep him in prison.
Wait, did you had the big nose or the Italian had the big nose or both?
No. The Italian dude, one of the witnesses said that the detective pressured him into fingering Ranta, basically saying, you know, the guy with the big nose.
Is Ranta Italian?
Yeah, I believe so. Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, I believe so.
Yeah.
Anyway, the guy with the big nose and said he had said they had sufficient evidence to keep him in prison. Speaking to the reporters upon his release, Ranta said he was looking forward to getting the hell out of here. A day later, he was in the hospital under the care of cardiologists. The accumulated trauma of being falsely convicted, coupled with the intense emotions experienced surrounding his release, has had a profound impact on his health, said Ranta's lawyer. That's bullshit.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you something. That's a good lawyer thing to say, but the truth of the matter is I had a friend that was in prison for 5-6 years. in prison, my man could have some heart condition going on that goes untreated.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You're in prison. You're going to get a pound of fucking... Yeah.
Where are you going to go? I have a little pain in my thyroid.
No, they're going to give you some Spam and a pound of rice pilaf.
Yeah, some rice pilaf on it. Go
every
back
day.
To your cell.
They don't say what prison he was in, but basically, you know...
Doesn't fucking matter.
They'll probably release him.
Yeah.
You know, unbeknownst to them, my man is a fucking walking time bomb because he's ready to have a heart attack.
Yeah.
Right? He may have some sort of...
Read me what the lawyer says again. What does he say?
the lawyer's a fucking idiot.
He's out for 24 hours.
Yeah. Well, have a friend of mine that had the same thing happen. Within 40 fucking 8 hours, my man has a heart attack. 48 hours after being released from fucking prison. I think he was doing like 10, 12 years. Okay. So he gets released. They bring him to the hospital. They do a fucking quadruple bypass on the guy. My man winds up dying. Okay? So this shit is not uncommon. But anyway, it's not. It's not because you're in jail.
I know.
You're in jail. They're not fucking... You're not. You're not getting routine physicals. You know, this guy's wrongly accused. It's assumed...
So, but what's the lawyer
assumed,
say?
It's assumed that if you're in jail, you're a criminal. Fuck you, right?
Yeah.
So the lawyer says, the accumulated trauma of being falsely convicted, ... coupled with the intense emotions experienced surrounding his release, has had a profound impact on his health.
What about that with the added immediate 24-hour cocaine binge the first night out back on the town with his friends?
Right.
Or the heart attack of coming home and seeing your girlfriend screwing another guy.
Right.
The emotion, you know what I'm saying? It's like, that's what if that has something to do with it?
Well, what about...
You've been in jail for 12 years. You get released. You come home. There's some like... there's two guys tag teaming your wife on the bed. Oh, honey, I didn't know you were going to be home so soon.
You're going
heart attack.
You're going crazy.
You're going crazy.
How about you come home?
One of them volunteers at the church and you're wondering how it got to this point.
How about you come home? You got your stinky ass clothes.
Yeah.
That's been in jail for fucking 5 years, haven't been washed properly, and you go to wash your clothes in your closet, and you look in your laundry bin, and the Tide has been stolen. You fucking lose it. You fucking blow a gasket.
Yeah, you've been doing tricep extensions with cinder blocks for for 9 years. You're ready to blow.
Oh my God.
You know,
oh shit.
This is real shit.
It's crazy. No, it's crazy. Anyway, God bless you, David. God bless you, David Ranta, Mr. Ranta. I hope you're feeling better. You're wrongly accused. They should give you some money to reduce the size of your nose. The least they could do is help you out. I mean, you've paid your debt, and they owe you something.
So, and what's the name of the rabbi that was murdered?
Chaskel Wurzburger.
If anybody out there has any links or evidence or information relating to the real murderer of Chaskel Wurzburger, please contact local authorities. And we do send respect to both their families, both
big-nosed
Italian and the dead rabbi.
Yeah, big up.
Big up to both,
okay.
Both of them.
So this is on a different note. In Prague, Oklahoma, okay? Prague, Oklahoma. Tremors from fracking. Scientists have linked Oklahoma's largest earthquake, okay, a 5.6 magnitude quake near the town of Prague in 2011, to hydraulic fracturing, supporting claims that the process increases seismic activity. Okay, just in case you guys don't know what that is, fracking, as it is known, injects water and chemicals into petroleum deposits in order to extract trapped gas. This is the natural gas mining that's going on in all over the world, but in parts of the United States of America. This is the new thing, and it has tremendous side effects. So, you know, our country is looking for alternative methods of fuel.
Yeah.
You know.
So they're fracking.
So, I mean, for those of you that don't know what the fracking is, Google it. Anyway, I just told you, they inject these water. Like, first of all, they inject water and chemicals, and they basically crack it right down. Like
the earth?
The earth.
Oh,
yeah.
Hold on, dude,
this is very important. They contaminate the water. Okay, natural drinking water in the process of doing this. When you release natural gases, it winds up going into the the water streams, the water lines.
Where did people get so smart? That's what I want to know.
There's more to this. And it requires psychotic amounts of water to do this. So not only are you wasting natural resources that, let's think about this, all right? We don't have indefinite supplies of water, right? So let's pump billions and billions and billions of gallons into this and then fuck up our natural resources because the gas that you're drilling can and sometimes and a lot of times goes into your drinking water, all right? So look into fracking in your local areas and Google it. There's a movie called Gasland, a documentary.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Gasland. Netflix it. Look into it. There's a problem that's not really talked about too much, but it's a major issue here in the United States.
There could be fracking in your community.
Yeah, well, but this week, researchers at the University of Oklahoma, Columbia University, and the U.S. Geological Survey published findings that linked wastewater injection to seismic events in the area, okay? Highlighting the need for greater government oversight. The central U.S. has experienced an 11-fold increase in seismic activity in recent years. There's not a magic bullet, said researcher Heather Savage, but if we have more monitoring capabilities, we can watch these things.
What are they monitoring? We're just going to monitor it and see what we're fracking. People are getting fracked all over the place.
Look at the movie Gasland. Watch the movie Gasland.
And you'll see
the multitude of ejaculatory masturbation with the fucking senators and bills being passed.
It's all these senators. You want to frack? It used to be as you could go frack someone. You know, now you're fracking the land.
Yeah.
Everyone's fracking everyone in this country.
Yeah. It's just craziness. But I mean, that's a serious issue that needs to be tended to, you know, because we're trying to mine for a resource that's obviously gas is one of the most, you know, sought after resources in America and the world, but we don't have that much. We have to rely on...
You know what's a greater one? Water. Go without it for one day.
Water?
Water. Gas. Water. I'm saying like you're wasting the water, like you're saying, to get gas. You don't need gas. You need water.
You need gas, yeah.
But you need water.
We got a caller. Caller, where are you from? What's your name?
Anna.
Oh, hi, Anna. How are you? Where are you calling from?
From Studio City.
Oh, hi, Anna. How's it going? Thanks for calling into the Nestorius Public Radio Show. would you care to comment on Tide or the fracking situation or the unjust prosecution of Mr. Ranta?
No, I think it's great that you're talking, that you put a plug in for that movie Gasland. I think that water is the issue, the big issue, and I think that what's happening with fracking and the fact that it's not on the front page news every day is really a tragedy, and I'm really happy to hear you talking about it.
Now, yeah, it is a tragedy. It is a tragedy. As I was saying before, it's a major concern, but yet no one knows about this. You know, what I was going to get into is that, you know, the headlines or the news, the top news last weekend was that gas prices are coming down, regular gas prices, petroleum. And I read the article, and the article talks about that gasoline prices are going down because of rising global supplies, okay, and lower than expected demand in the world's two largest economies. When you have gas prices skyrocketing, people say, I can't afford it, and they stop using it.
Oh, if gas goes down, then just frack.
Well, no, but I'm saying we're looking for alternative means of supporting ourselves with fuel sources.
I think the problem comes down to using certain words. And like clean and natural associated with fracking, clean and natural gas. When, you know, if you watch the documentary, you'll see people wake up one day, they turn their faucet on and it's flammable.
Right.
The water.
Do you know about this?
I've heard of it. I haven't watched it.
It's an amazing, the movie basically starts out in the eastern, in Pennsylvania, in the East Coast of the United States. And these big natural gas drilling corporations, they're going to you and offering you hundreds of thousands of dollars to lease your land.
Okay? Oh, wow. Lease it.
Lease it. Lease it. We want to use your land. We'll pay you. So you're like, fuck it. You're going to give me $100,000. So they come in your backyard. They start putting these humongous drilling machines and, you know, bing, 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 bing. And they drill and they drill. And, you know, they
frack the fuck out of it.
They frack the fuck out of your shit. Earthquakes start happening. Next thing you know, months later, you go to get some water from your faucet and you smell gas. Somebody says, let's see if we can light it up. They take a match to it, whoosh, and the shit lights up. Crazy.
It's not supposed to do that, no?
It's not supposed to. No. Water's not supposed to do that. Caller, are you still there? No, she left us. Okay.
No, that's insane.
Thank you for calling, Anna.
That's insane. You know, it's just idiots. Idiots.
Well, the thing is that you have to be made aware of this type of stuff. I think Anna had a really good point. You know, clean and natural gas, which is the tag that they're using for natural gas. Yet the means and the methods that they're using to procure this so-called clean and natural gas are not clean. The methods are not clean, and they're not natural. So
yeah, I mean, you know, like. It's like you watch all these commercials with Exxon and British Petroleum of like, oh, we're here for the environment. I mean, that's like getting raped in prison, but he nibbles your ear and tells you he cares. Like, you know, who cares?
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Exactly. So anyway, don't frick and don't frack. So we got some good news, man. We got some good news. a lot of always crazy stuff, but Twinkies, man. Twinkies are returning. Could you imagine that shit? Twinkies. Big up! Big up, Twinkie!
Twinkies are back, man!
Big the fuck up! Big
up! Don't call it a comeback, man!
Big up, petrified spongy cake, yeah! Big up! Big up, Twinkie!
We've been here for years, man! Don't call it a comeback!
big up! Yes. So, basically, I'm not sure, as you all know, what was it last year? Hostess went bankrupt.
Okay.
And they just fucking went under because the dudes that were running the corporation. The other day I was walking down the aisle, I'm like, Wonder Bread also. How the fuck? Seriously, how could you mess up an American icon, a food icon, something that, like, you don't need advertising for? Wonder Bread, come on. Turkey sandwiches, Wonder Bread, Twinkies, you get high.
Listen, you have Twinkies. To realize, Twinkies were there before the fat people. They helped create the fat people. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, now there's so many options for thick people that want to eat a lot of fucking feces with cream filling. You know, I mean, I've never been a fan of Twinkies. I don't like them. I know some people that's sacrilegious, but also some people have really bad colonoscopies and they, you know, have really bad gas. So my point is, if you like Twinkies, I'm glad you like Twinkies. I know a lot of people like Twinkies. I like that what was the one with the sugar on top, like the marshmallow? It was like a marshmallow. It was like white with like blue powder.
Snowballs or snow cones?
But it was the same Hostess, yeah?
I believe so. They make all sorts
those
of stuff.
Those are kind of good. I like those.
I mean, I like you got... I'm thinking Drake's now. Drake's cakes. There's so many different ones.
Yeah, there never was Drake's cakes. There was Twinkies. Now there's for people that want to eat.
No, Drake's sugar. Is a different company.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah. Twinkies was Hostess, I believe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm saying there's competition. I'm answering your question because you said, how do they go out of business? Now there's all sorts of things for these
folks. No. It's not the competition. It's mismanaging of a corporation. I mean, you got guys on the top, you know, taking fat checks and shit while the workers, you know, they're getting paid minimum wage and
they're getting ho-hoed.
Yeah. They're getting Suzy Q'd. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
You know.
But what I'm saying is like they're getting yodeled and ring-dinged.
The American public, the working class are getting yodeled and the big Twinkie upstairs.
Yeah, but I'm saying, but how do you do that? I mean, how do you run a company like that? Anyway, but basically what happened was...
Because you suck.
In November, this is what happened last November. All 36 Hostess brand plants shut down after an extended standoff with the bakery, confectionery, tobacco workers, and Grain Millers International Union. So yeah. Apparently they had some stuff. The previous Hostess company has almost completely wound down its operations while selling off its best-known brands like Twinkies, Cupcakes, Ho-Hos, Zingers, Ding Dongs, Suzy Q's, the hedge funds.
Yeah, they sold all that shit to hedge funds. The hedge funds come in, swap it up, chop it up, put it back on the black market, slang it for Tide, wash it, sell it for crack, and now, you know, Twinkies are back on the stands. Fuck, man. You know, it's like the same story of like all like Scarface. You're on top, bro, but you had to go crazy. You Twinkies, you were there. But yeah. You had to get crazy, rolling around. You got Twinkie mobiles and parades.
You had the market.
Dude, best seats at the clubs, Lakers seats.
Yeah, crazy shit. Anyway, but that's supposed to be happening for all you pot smokers, for all you ganja lovers, Big up. Big up, Twinkie, coming this summer. Big up.
Jobless, Twinkie man.
Jobless. You're homeless. But you're living large. You're living large in a beat-up Cadillac.
We're bringing Twinkies back, man.
Yeah, blah, blah, blah. Anyway, big up to our co-host, our absent co-host, Rich. Big up, Rich. Rich has got a little surgery earlier today. I think he went in for a colonoscopy.
Yeah.
And they did a rotator cuff surgery. Big up, Rich.
Yeah. Big up, Rich. He'll be back next week.
Big up, Rich. Yeah. So he should be doing all right. He's probably drugged the
much
fuck up.
Much love. Big up.
Big up. Much love, man.
Big up, Rich, man.
Much love, man. Anyway, so real quick. We have a few minutes left. We had the Latino community in an uproar about this year's release of the Barbie dolls of the world. I don't know if you got a chance to look at the pictures.
Yeah.
Realistic or racist? Anyway, the Latino world is like Latin America is in uproar because apparently the Mexico Barbie has, you know, like a Maria Conchita, you know, field server dress, and she has a little chihuahua in her purse.
Yeah.
But when I'm looking at all the other Barbies of the world, they have similar styled national dresses of their country.
Yes.
And they have, you know, a dog typically associated with, you know, probably their country as well. I mean, the Argentina Barbie.
The Japanese girl is wearing a kimono.
Yeah. She's wearing a kimono and she's got a panda bear. I mean, you could say that's racist. Actually, that's the Chinese Barbie.
Okay.
Yeah, that's the Chinese Barbie. Fucking Australia Barbie has a fucking get up from down under.
Yeah, she's dressed like Crocodile Dundee. Yeah. She's got a knife. Yeah. I mean, yeah.
And she's got a stick with some shrimps to put on the Barbie.
Yeah.
And the Philippines Barbie has a beautiful, elegant dress with a closet in the back with a bunch of shoes in it to emulate Imelda Marcos, if you guys remember that one.
Yeah.
Let me see here. Holland Barbie. She's dressed like the little Dutch, Swiss Miss Dutch chocolate.
Yeah, the Cambodian Barbie is actually a man.
Yeah.
You know,
it's a trick.
So why the Latins are mad? The Chihuahua?
I don't know. Because I think sometimes we Latinos.
You gotta speak up.
But we Latinos, some of our people, we always want to fucking start yelling racism and shit like that when it's really not racist. I mean, it's. That makes no sense. You want to hear? There's another event that happened in New Jersey. Okay, in a CVS in New Jersey, right? You have a Korean woman who basically went in to get I don't know, some prescription, and they put on her receipt I think they called her Chin. Hold on a second. Let me see if I find this. I mean, you could say, oh, that sounds racist. But at the end of the day, you know, is it? You know what I mean? Give me a second.
Everyone's so sensitive.
Give me one second here.
We're so concerned with words in this country. You notice that?
Well,
words are like this big thing that they have us all concerned with. Like, which words can you say and which words are inappropriate and who can say these words? And you can't say these words because you're not one of these words and I'm one of these words, so I can say this word. But they're words and they're not really tackling the real issues of how do we get along.
Right, right. Well, we're not interested in getting along. We're interested in suing people and fighting for bullshit.
Fuck that.
But anyway, a woman Korean descent who claims a worker at a CVS in southern New Jersey used the phrase mocking Asians to identify her on a store receipt has filed a federal discrimination suit against the pharmacy chain, according to her lawyer. Okay.
Yeah.
See, I have a problem with her filing a federal discrimination suit. Because being discriminated against is a completely different thing. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Telling you you're black, you can't eat here.
Yeah. Hanging you in the town square, that's discriminating.
No. Well, no. Telling you you can't eat here because you're black or you're a spick or whatever, right? That's discriminating, preventing somebody. Being called a racial epithet or, you know, being used as some sort of an ethnic phrase or something, some truth to it, I don't know that yields or the right to start a lawsuit. But anyway, here goes.
Everyone's so sensitive.
Attorney Susan Chana Lask said her client, Young Lee, was picking up photos, right? February 7th at CVS in Egg Harbor City, in New Jersey, when Lee noticed an employee had identified her as Ching Chong Lee on the ticket. Okay? That's the thing. Lee said through her attorney that she complained to CVS customer relations and was allegedly told the worker would be counseled and trained. Okay?
Yes, he's going to go to sensitivity training because everyone's so sensitive.
Store counseling cannot correct intolerable discrimination, Lask said in a written statement, adding they were demanding the worker be fired. Okay, cool. So I'm not opposed to that. You know what I mean?
You call me Ching Chang, you get the fuck out.
Yeah, I mean,
you get the fuck out.
Yeah, I'm not opposed to that shit.
I'm not opposed to that. See, get the guy, tell him that he's fucking stupid.
He's a stupid fuck.
Yeah.
I mean,
Go figure it out.
The receipt says Ching Chong Lee.
Yeah, let's see how you like the Walgreens, okay? We're the ones with the benefits. Let's see how you like the Walgreens.
I mean, CVS could argue and say that CVS could say, I hired a moron. He doesn't know how to fucking listen or he doesn't know how to write.
How often does CVS say, we hired the next Einstein?
Right.
We hired the next best. That's not a very common phrase in CVS management meetings.
Yeah.
This guy's a fucking idiot.
CVS Caremark Corp spokesman Mike D'Angelo said the company does not comment on pending litigation, but has a firm non-discrimination policy. It says CVS Pharmacy is committed to treating all of our customers with dignity and respect. You know, I don't think that's discrimination.
Yeah.
That's stupidity. You know what I mean? That's moronic.
Here's what I would like to see happen in America. We've been on this path for about 20 years where we're very concerned about what we say.
Yeah.
It's administrative assistance week this week.
Right.
It's not secretaries week. Okay.
Right.
We don't want to call them secretaries.
Right.
This is dad. And
it's Latinos.
Yeah.
Not Hispanics.
Not spick and spans.
We don't like to be called Hispanics.
Yeah. It's not.
We like to be called Latinos.
Yeah.
If you call us spicks, then we may have to sue.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
So,
exactly.
But check it. The suit, which Lask said was filed April 16th in federal court in Camden, New Jersey, is seeking $1 million. Come on,
$1
man.
$1 million.
Give me a fucking break.
Go get a hug.
Seriously, with all due respect, Ching motherfucking Chong, okay?
Watch out, dude. You're about to get sued, bro.
All you need to do is meditate. Breathe in Ching, breathe out Chong.
Yeah.
That's all you need
to
do.
Whatever happened to you pissed off the Asian woman? She whipped out a bow staff and beat up the whole fucking place. Come on.
You need a hug?
You want a hug? CVS, tissues aisle 9. Go fuck yourself.
$1 million.
What? Here's what I want America. This is what I would like to see America do. Man up.
Man up.
Don't get your feelings hurt all the time.
Yeah.
God.
Bullshit, okay? That's bullshit.
Fucking bullshit.
Big up CVS, big up Tide, big up Ching Chong, big up everybody, man. Stay tuned next week to Nestorius Public Radio. Join us, call us anytime, holla at your boys. Simon Kaufman, Nestor Rodriguez signing out. You can catch us on Facebook.
Support for NPR comes from Procter & Gamble, the makers of Tide.
Talking shit, so y'all gotta, like, you know, encourage me the whole way along. Ow.